Do you want to set your child up for success? Is tutoring out of your budget, or perhaps you're someone like me who just wants to save money on private tutoring? Is this a big school year for your child? You know, maybe they're starting kindergarten or middle school. Maybe there's another milestone coming up. Or maybe your family moved. Oh my gosh, I moved so much when I was growing up. And the kids are starting a new school. Or maybe your child is ahead and just not getting challenged enough in class. Well, IXL Learning is here to help. IXL Learning is a fun online learning program for kids covering math, language, arts, science, and social studies. It's powered by advanced algorithms. IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or the personality. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's right, it is school approved. So make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And How to Be Fine listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/fine. Visit IXL.com/fine to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Again, that's IXL.com/fine.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. That's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The following podcast contains explicit language.
Hey, Kristen.
Yeah, Jolenta.
We need to talk about Cameron.
Yeah, we totally need to talk about Cameron. Actually, we need to talk to Cameron. Cameron, get over here.
What?
Cameron, it's time.
It's time for what? What's going on? What are you guys doing?
Cameron, you know what time it is. We told you. We have a lot of curious listeners who have questions for you.
And it's time that you answer those questions, Cameron.
Well, all right.
So let's get to it in this very special bonus episode, Cameron Tells All.
Welcome to another By the Book bonus episode, our between season treat for your ears.
We're calling this bonus episode Cameron Tells All.
We've put our producer, Cameron, in the hot seat, and he'll be answering all your questions about producing By the Book and about himself in general.
Yes, and we'll be throwing a few of our own questions in there while we're at it. Cameron's touching his forehead now like he's like not ready for this.
Oh, no, I'm so ready. Okay. I'm mentally preparing. I'm getting
He's getting
the
in the zone.
State.
Okay,
I'm getting
Cam.
In the zone.
Okay, you got to be in the zone. Got to be in the zone.
Because
we've got
not
a lot of questions for you.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am as ready as I'll ever be.
Okay, so question number one. A lot of people want to know, why did you even decide to work on By the Book? You picked us, right?
I had a choice between this show and another show, and I chose this one because I had a previous relationship with you guys. I've known you for a while, and I like you guys, and it's fun
Yay.
To hang out. And
I'm very
do stuff.
Flattered.
I thought it would be really fun to work on a project together because we have worked together in the past, but we have never actually like done something together from the bottom up. And I
right.
thought it would be cool, and I was really curious to see what would happen. The other thing is this show is kind of a comedy show, and that's my wheelhouse a little bit.
Well, we are in the iTunes comedy category. So,
it's true.
Yeah,
it's
we're not
true.
Even sort of a comedy. We're a full-on comedy.
Sure.
I'm very glad you picked us and comedy.
Yes. Me too. I will always pick comedy.
Yes. Good. And we'll Good. Always pick you, Cameron.
Yep.
Oh,
it's
my
true.
Gosh.
You know, Cameron and comedy both start with a C, and I don't think that's a coincidence.
K's are funnier, to be fair, but
they do have, like, nice, funny angles.
That's true. They have silly angles.
Okay.
Everyone knows K's are funny. Come on.
And Kristen starts with K.
It
exactly.
does.
This oh, is turning man. Into an episode of Sesame Street and not By the Book.
Let's get to that
What's
next question.
Yes, okay. please. Cameron, what did you think of self-help books before starting this project? And what do you think of them now? Has your opinion of them changed?
I think my opinion of self-help was probably in between the two of your opinions. I definitely had some of the Kristen-style skepticism. The idea
Smart
of
boy.
Someone...
Yeah. I think of you as like a down-to-earth young man.
Sure. I think the idea of someone shilling bad science and taking advantage of vulnerable people is just like a despicable thing.
Oh, Cameron.
But at the same time, I'm very, very open to the idea of self-help. Before I worked on this show, I was interested in things like cognitive behavioral therapy. When I was a young kid, I was diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder. So I was very into sort of like different little tricks to keep that under control. So like the idea of self-improvement is something that I'm very open to and very interested in. So I think if books have science behind them, like What to Say When You Talk to Yourself, as I recall, had some objective facts in there rattling around.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Just a few rolling around in that
cool
book.
Well, as long as there's a few. And I think that sort of stuff is helpful because there are smart people trying to study these things to help us, mm-hmm. help ourselves. And I think it's ultimately a good thing. And I like how this show tries to figure out, like, which ones are stupid and which ones are helpful.
Can I give a little tidbit on Cameron here?
Oh, please.
This is so funny. During season one, Cameron, toward the end of season one, came to me and he's like, Kristen, I have to confess something to you. And I said, what? I've never heard of any of these books. I'm like, what? You've
yes.
never heard of The Secret?
That
You've
made me feel
You've never heard of The Life-Changing Magic
when you
up?
Said you never yeah. heard of The Secret.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
yeah. The only season one book I had heard of was Men Are From Mars because it was a huge thing.
Because it was such a big deal when
yeah.
we were kids.
Yeah.
yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think The Secret came out when I was in college or something.
Right,
because
I was
saying,
you're
attention.
Not that much younger than me. And it came yeah. out when I was finishing up college. So you were probably like finishing high school or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like once I learned about The Secret, I started hearing people reference it all over the place. Like,
right,
I get that it's in our cultural consciousness, I think.
Yeah, once you start speaking the self-help vernacular, you,
you
cannot
see it everywhere.
Stop thinking it. It's
sure.
everywhere.
And like condoing is totally a verb that people use.
Yes.
Or like that's another one that people reference all the time too.
Yeah, you're one of us now.
Yeah.
One
yeah.
of us.
I totally
one
am.
Of us.
Here's a question from a listener named Irina. She wants to know, Cameron, how many hours of work go into each episode on average?
Well, the research and writing is Jolenta and Kristen. And do you guys want to share how long that takes you?
It's 2 weeks.
2 weeks? I would say about 2 weeks,
okay.
roughly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then our recording sessions are like, well, we spend 20 to 30 minutes just chatting about nothing in particular.
That's
and
called the warm-up.
Very important part of the recording session.
And then once we actually start doing our jobs, that's like maybe an hour or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and during that process, there's rewrites.
Sure, that's when
we'll pause and
yeah, Cameron will catch things.
Things
and say that doesn't actually make any sense at all, you guys.
Right.
Or, you know,
this is the first time all of the stuff sort of like comes to life off of the page, and we can sort of all hear it together. And I haven't read the script at all when I come into the studio, so I have like fresh ears on it, and I can say if something is boring or it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, which is really important because
yes,
I mean,
need that.
Jolenta and I can't always tell if we're
when
being
you're
boring,
living
if
by
we
a book.
Sense.
Yeah, you
especially
get
when the rules are
in.
So stupid. Or no offense if people like a book that I think is stupid, but
right.
if the rules are just overly convoluted or complicated.
Right. Cameron will right. often have notes about the rules we distill from the book about like all the language is insane and like
yeah,
a normal
right.
a normal human would not be able to understand this.
Yeah.
You have to rewrite it.
Translate
we're like, oh right,
terms.
We've been living in the land of this one particular book.
Right.
Not everyone else lives here.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't speak
yeah.
secret.
Yes, yes, exactly. And then, so after we do the initial recording session, then the episode is pretty much in your hands, right, Cameron?
Yeah, after the first recording session, it's kind of a tight turnaround. I probably spend 7 hours, 8 hours putting
oof.
The first draft together, maybe. It's usually split up between, like, it all happens in 24 hours, but I'll start editing right after we leave the studio. And for like 4 hours, I'll put together half of it. Then the next day, another couple hours or whatever.
Yeah. And he has, if anybody knows what editing software looks like, you'll go up to Cameron's desk and he has so many tracks. He has the tracks of Jolenta's home tape, my home tape, studio tape of Jolenta, studio tape of me.
Music tracks.
Music tracks, Cameron's own track of when he's giving us directions. So there are so many multiple lines of audio that he's dealing
he
with.
He looks like a wizard.
Yes.
He looks
a wizard.
Like a wizard on a computer.
A very nerdy wizard
yes.
who uses
yeah.
technology.
A wizard with big headphones on.
Sure.
Yes. And then combined, the three of us come up with, after listening to that first cut you make, all of us, with Cameron being the first, come up with things that we think need to be improved or cut or what have you.
Yeah. That's when you guys, I think, have the fresh ears, because I'm very in it and I have to give you guys the first draft. And
I think it's really funny. One episode recently, the tarot card, The Wild Unknown, Cameron really loved the voice of my tarot card reader.
Oh, right.
And the tape was running like five or 6 minutes long. And Jolent and I were like, oh, that tape is really dragging.
Cameron, it's like a 20-minute clip of this reading.
I doubled it up. I thought we could loop it.
Cameron's like, oh, we don't want the whole podcast just to be this woman talking?
I feel like we should build in a nap for the listener in the center of the episode.
Yeah. She had a very soothing voice. She had a very soothing voice. So it's funny that sometimes Cameron, you'll feel certain ways about the tape and we'll feel certain ways about the tape, and then all combined, the three of us, our brains work together to make each show.
Yeah.
So back to the timeline. We record it. Cameron takes it for about a day and a half, turns it around really quickly, gives us a first draft of the episode. We have it for then usually about a day. We take notes, we listen, and
sometimes you have it for an hour.
Sometimes I get it a few hours beforehand.
We listen and cram some notes.
Yeah, we
together.
Listen real fast, make a second draft of the script, get back in the studio, and how long does that take?
The second studio session?
Yeah.
Oh, less time.
Right.
It can take anywhere between 5 minutes to an hour, depending on how much we have to fix.
And then you have to edit that again. So all of those multiple tracks, there are now additional multiple tracks then. So
there are two of like a full episode, essentially.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. If you go up to Cameron's desk, anyone who's lurking behind Cameron, you'll be blown away by how much work he does with all of this. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I have to ask you, though, Cameron, that is the best possible circumstances, what we just laid out.
Sure.
Let's talk about the very hardest episode you ever had to make.
I think I know which one it is.
I think it's a toss-up between two things, but I want to hear what Cameron
says. I gave a presentation about this episode at a company-wide meeting one time.
Oh, I hope it's the one I'm thinking.
Because I was just like, here's the difference between things going smoothly and things being a garbage fire.
What? We make garbage fires, Cameron?
No, it was the It was the Class with the Countess episode in
season one.
Yeah.
And there were just so many more revisions. As we just said, usually there are two studio sessions. I think there were about six studio sessions.
I would say it's usually roughly two studio sessions and about like a work week's worth of time to put together an episode after we've lived by the books.
Yeah. We kept shopping around this episode to different people at our company and stuff to be like, is this insane? Are we insane?
And it's mainly just because we broke from our normal format.
Right.
Staged essentially a reality show blowout.
Yeah. We wanted to do a little bit of a Real Housewives fight actually in the episode, which was heightened reality.
I would say it was based on some real life disagreements Kristen and I had on like walks to the bathroom and such.
Yeah. It was a weird thing because we were like, people are going to be confused by this, or some people are. We are switching things up.
We will be alienating some listeners.
Yeah. It was a dangerous risk. So it was like, how many people do we want to alienate?
And how long did it take to put it together? Do you think? Months,
well,
right?
Forever. It was so, like, drawn out. Yeah, we made lots of other episodes in the time that it made.
Yeah, I think we pushed it later in the season.
I think it was 2 months to make
that.
Yeah,
I feel like it was over a month. It was, like, as long as it took to put together our pilot, if not longer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Really good question, Arena. Thank you.
Thanks, Arena.
Thanks.
Here's a question which I'm sure is going to make you feel possibly uncomfortable to answer.
But we don't care.
But we don't care.
I'm not scared.
Because Cameron tells all.
Cameron, what is the most annoying thing that Jolenta and I do that you have to edit out all the time?
Oh, this does make me uncomfortable.
We're going to take this as useful coaching in the future we can be better.
Well, who should I start with?
Start with me. Okay, I'll
start with Kristen.
Kristen really wants you to start with her.
Kristen does this funny thing where she repeats certain things over and over. It's not that you're like redundant when you're talking or anything, but if you get excited and say like, Yes, totally. Yes, totally. Yes, totally. You'll do
yes,
like you'll
totally.
Like, it's like a stone skipping through water, and I'll just have to trim off like two of them, so it's just one. Or in like transitional phases where you're like, okay, 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 and I'll just like trim some of the okays. Whereas Joe Lenta just has a lot of ums and likes that I trim out.
I've been trying to work on my likes.
I can't criticize you for that because the times when I've had to edit my own voice, including probably this time right now, I have to trim tons of likes from myself.
So when I was a kid, I'll never forget in third grade, I consciously worked at putting like in my vocabulary every few words because I wanted to be a Valley Girl.
Oh, my God.
Wow. It was like 1995.
That is like, fascinating.
Yeah. And I, my friends and I were like, we want to be like Clueless and we're going to start inserting like. And we were in Oregon, so California was always doing the cool thing. We're just one shitty state north.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
we
yeah.
just were desperate to catch up. And I worked really hard at putting it in. So now I feel like I have to work just as hard, if not harder, to take it out after 20 years.
No, it's
that's yes, the thing is, yes, sorry.
I think
yes.
Okay.
All right, okay.
Got it.
Okay, I have a question. So, like, I have, like, a question.
Actually, I think a lot of the listeners have the same question.
Yeah,
because we get this question sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Or we get it in more of, like, a scolding form against us.
Yes, we do. They're not actually scolding Cameron.
No. They have not asked what Cameron thinks about this, but no. I feel like I'd like Cameron to weigh in on this subject. Cameron, are we too hard on straight white dudes?
Oh, by the way, listeners, Cameron is a straight white
dude. Do you identify as a... cisgendered straight white dude?
I do, all of the above. My answer is no. I do think, because I've read a lot of the listener mail, so I know what people's criticism is. Mm-hmm. I think the way things are phrased sometimes makes people misinterpret what you guys are doing or what you're being critical of. Because
mm-hmm.
People say, like, oh, you shouldn't hate on someone just because they're a straight white man, which is obviously true. And
yeah, totally.
I don't think you guys are doing that.
I happen to be married to one.
Me too.
Yeah. One of my best friends is a straight white man.
One of my only producers is a straight white man.
No, I think people misinterpret that just because, like, I think you guys might take as a given that everyone knows what you're doing. So you might say something like, ugh, straight white dudes, blah, blah, blah. When really you are just maybe pointing out blind spots that the authors are having. Like in the case of Mark Manson, he was considering something to be a revelation that you guys had. And you said, like, anyone who's not a straight white man figured this out forever ago. So then the book looks like it's kind of reinventing the wheel. In a way, which mm-hmm. like authors
which
shouldn't
it
do.
It's if bad, you've right? had an experience that isn't that of a straight white dude.
Right, exactly. And I think that's valuable. It's a conversation about perspective. It's a conversation about how different people experience the world differently, and straight white men have blind spots.
And it's not their fault, but like
when
their experience is the default societal experience in America,
right.
And they're writing books a lot of the time for like women who tend to buy self-help books, we want to point out like this isn't a universal experience. This is the experience of like being the person who society gives the most benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully we create enough framing and context throughout a 35 to 40 minute episode where hopefully that other context we're creating gives you the takeaway that it's not a case of attacking straight white men. It's a case of this is
attacking the ideology of this book.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, here's a lighter question before we go into break. You come up with the Easter egg in every episode. You surprise us. Jolenta and I never hear that little outtake at the end of each episode. We never hear that until the episode goes out. And it's a surprise for us. It's a surprise for the listeners. Which is your favorite one that you've come up with so far?
Oh, gosh. I really liked the Mark Manson one where Jolenta bumped into the wall and then apologized to the wall.
Has there been an Easter egg you've loved that we weren't allowed to use?
Yes, there was one. It was.
We're both looking at Kristen because she's the one who forbade it. I don't remember what it is, but I know
we're
both afraid of it.
I didn't remember until this morning and I looked it up. It was... So It was a lot of penis puns. So it was like...
Oh. So wait, were you heavily involved in that, Kristen?
No. Oh. It was, or maybe not even puns, but you, Jolenta said, okay, from the top, from the tippy. And then started giggling.
Oh, God, no.
And then,
we just started talking about just the tip. And Kristen immediately pulled a middle-aged mom and was like, no, we cannot use this.
Yeah. Nope, nope.
And of course we were like, it's
please,
fine.
Kristen, come on.
Nope, nope. We have, we do use some barnyard language on this show, but we are not that sexy of a show. Despite that one episode with the hot tub, we are not a very sexy show.
True.
Yes, we are. Yeah, and that's not what our advertisers want. That's not what our listeners want.
Well, speaking of advertisers, why don't we take a quick break and then we'll get back to even more questions about Cameron, including ones about his life outside of this podcast. Apparently, he has a life outside of
us.
Yes,
yes. We're going to ask Cameron personal questions right after this break.
Yeesh.
Do you ever find yourself wading through your newsfeed on Facebook or Twitter, wishing you could just call someone up and ask, what do I really need to pay attention to here? Well, what if you could? I'm Mary Harris, the host of What Next, Slate's new daily news podcast. And every weekday morning, I'm going to be on call for you, taking you inside one story, going deep behind the headlines. What Next is news you're not going to get just scrolling through your phone. To listen, subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
All right, we're back with our special Between Seasons Treat, our bonus episode, Cameron Tells All. And now we're getting to some questions about Cameron's life outside of By the Book. And we're starting with a question from Sabrina. Sabrina wants to know, Cameron, what podcast do you listen to when you're not working on By the Book?
Oh, well, I listen to a lot of just like comedy interview shows, kind of, because I just want to get into the heads of comedians that I like all the time. So, you know, I like shows like S-Town. I like the good, well-produced shows, but the ones that I just gravitate towards all the time are just like very simple, unstructured interview shows. I was binging one yesterday when I was traveling, and it's called Crazy in Bed, and it's hosted by two comedians, Mae Wilkerson. And,
oh, I love Mae Wilkerson.
Me too. She is wonderful. Mae Wilkerson and Alyssa Limperis, I think her name is.
I feel like I know both of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very good comedians.
It's like a UCB podcast network show. And they just talk about mental health issues and stuff. Mm. They often have a guest on who like has a specific issue that they're talking about, but it is like so good for anyone who struggles with anything. They're very good at just like making you feel not alone. And one of my favorite shows for a long time, and still is one of my favorite shows, I go back to it, is YOY with Andrea Salenzi.
Our girl.
That was for a long time the one show that I felt like I had to listen to every time a new episode came out.
For anybody who's ever really, been really single good. Or is single or has navigated the world of dating, and I can say as somebody who's married but who I easily went on over 200 online dates before I met Dean.
You were going through a phase.
Yeah, remember?
Well, you had gotten out of a long-term relationship. And I was ready. Going to town. You were seeing what was out there.
There's so much out there. And that podcast, YOY, it's so good because it kind of gets to fantastic. Everything that's out there.
It's so good.
Good and bad and bizarre and magical. And
yes.
And Andrea, the host, she's just so, you know, raw and quirky. And the questions she asks are so interesting.
Oh, my God. So I would have, like, real like aha moments while listening to that show
that I would
like bother her about the next day. I'd be like, oh my God, I like this was like I had a breakthrough today because of this show.
Yes. YOY just became Cameron's therapy.
Yeah. So I would highly recommend that show.
I think you have good taste, Cameron.
Thank you.
So technically, I guess this question is for Kristen and I, but it's about Cameron. So I feel like it counts. This question is, Jolenta and Kristen, tell listeners something about Cameron that they don't know.
Oh, wow. There's so much to say about how sweet he is. He's just the absolute sweetest. He has a rotating wardrobe of flannel shirts and sweaters, and there's like three flannel shirts and three sweaters.
Yes.
And he, fashion, if we're going to stick to that topic, he did get a new jean jacket this year that he's super proud of.
Yeah, he's been rocking some hardcore denim.
Yeah, and when the three of us wear our jean jackets, the three of us look like we're in a band together.
That's very true.
We do wear jean jackets at the same time often.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
I'm trying to think about something real good. I mean, I don't know if we've talked about on air that Cameron has a twin bed.
Oh,
I do have a twin bed. I've been really thinking about upgrading that guy, but...
Yeah.
You have a bed frame, right?
Yeah, I have a bed
frame. Okay, that's good.
I'm very, like, we've gone over Kristen's cheapness on the show a little bit, and I definitely have a lot of that in me. I'm very cheap, kind of minimalist. So, like, when I moved to New York, I bought a mattress for, like, $70. And
it
was on the ground for like a year. It was secondhand.
No! Cam, you do not buy secondhand mattresses in Brooklyn.
Now I feel like I'm tarnishing my reputation.
I mean, I knew it was a twin, but I was like, he has a frame. It's okay, but...
I did. Yeah, I got a frame.
Secondhand.
Yeah.
No, you got to be careful about that.
Yeah, it's embarrassing, kind of.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring up the twin bed. It was just the first thing I could think of. That, and you often have PB&J for lunch, which I think is cute.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I actually have it for a late breakfast.
Oh,
I eat a PB&J every day at 11 a.m.
Yes. Yeah. So how many meals a day do you eat then?
I eat three. I just back shift everything. Everything's designed so that I'm not hungry at night.
Oh, you and I are like the opposite. You know how
My metabolism really makes quick work of things.
That's
so
true.
I stay on top of it or I get shaky.
Yeah. Okay, so
Cameron,
I didn't
realize also
that.
Wait, I have a little known fact that I might have made up, but don't people around the office call you Old Man Drews, or did I make that up?
Oh, you totally made that up.
Damn it. So little known fact, I call Cameron Old Man Drews because he says things like, otherwise I'll get shaky like an old man.
I like to think that I came up with the nickname Old Man Drews, though.
I feel like I heard it.
No, yeah, I feel like I made it up because Cameron at one point was in a pitch meeting talking about something with millennials.
Oh, yeah.
And the things you were saying about millennials sounded like, kids, get off my lawn.
Yeah,
and then afterward,
I
started calling him Old Man Drews.
Yeah.
He's one of the younger people here, I would assume.
I know. But I pitched an idea where the thing was like, I don't understand millennial things. I don't know. I still don't have like an Instagram. You run our Instagram. I know.
Every time I try to tag Cameron, I'm like, oh, right. Boy doesn't know how to take pictures on his phone, probably.
No, I'm also, I'm very bad at taking pictures.
little known fact.
Just can't do it. I don't know how.
That's why all of the pictures of us in studio look so fucking ugly. That's why I have to airbrush the shit out of everything.
I was going to say, all of the pictures are in the bad angle. You do your stuff.
Yeah, because I have apps I have paid for to make us look better.
Anytime someone asks me to take their picture, I have to deal with them being so disappointed when they just turn the phone around. And they're like,
I guess it is.
Let's try another one. It's just like, it's not going to be good. Yeah. Sorry.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Can we backtrack a second to your bedroom, Cam?
Okay.
Okay. So that room with your beautiful used twin bed. At one point, you mentioned that in that room, you also have a whiteboard.
Yes, I have a dry erase board.
Yes. And listener Allison has a question about that. This was during the epilogue of what to say when you talk to yourself. She wanted a reminder of what you wrote on your whiteboard and if things have changed since then.
Oh, yeah. Well, what I wrote on the whiteboard, this was part of the what to say when you talk to yourself
epilogue. Yeah.
And I was talking about my negative self-talk. I realized I had written on my whiteboard, stop sucking at comedy.
Right.
Which I thought was a fun motivational tool,
but
you guys
Chad Homesteader
Chad
would not
Homesteader
agree with you.
Would have said that's damaging self-talk.
Yes. Yeah.
So, does your whiteboard still say that?
No, I erased it, and then I thought, what should I replace it with? And I wrote, you could be worse at things.
No!
Cameron!
Cam!
Hey, baby steps. It's close to, it's almost positive.
Okay, Cam. While we're on the topic of your comedy, can we talk about what your stand-up comedy is about?
Sure. Well, I'm still kind of in the early stages of it, so I throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. That's kind of how it goes, I'm
right.
sure
oh, totally.
You understand.
Yes. Throw all the things.
I would love to have the luxury of deciding exactly what I want to talk about, though I one thing that does tend to come up over and over is I talk about how I look younger than I am.
I've seen you do a set about that.
Yeah, because...
Well, and I have not, because Cameron won't let me go to see him do live shows.
Well, I used to run a show. I used to run a show that occasionally had an open mic. And I think one time I, like, forced Cameron to go and, like, rigged the open mic so he would do stand-up and I could see it.
Yeah.
Do it again.
It was very fun.
Get me in there.
I enjoyed it.
He's really good, you guys, too. He's really funny.
Oh, stop.
I'm serious.
But that was something that I didn't really ever intend to talk about going into it, but when I first started trying comedy, people were like, no one knows how old you are, and it's confusing.
Yeah. Do you want to tell the listeners how old you are? You don't have to if you don't want to. But
I'm 27, but...
Everyone thinks you're in high school.
I would say, like, you could play a 17-year-old tomorrow.
Yeah,
on
probably. I may be too young looking to play a 17-year-old on TV because they always get like 30-year-olds to play 17-year-olds, I feel like.
Yeah, if you look at Riverdale, oh my God,
yeah,
all those
true.
Kids look
they're older
30.
Than I am.
Yeah.
Cameron, we've gotten this question a lot. I've gotten it in my personal email. I've gotten it via Instagram direct messenger. So I feel like it's time to ask this question.
Yeah. Also, we've gotten it at live shows.
Yeah.
We've gotten it by email.
We've gotten this question
even
in
on Facebook.
Every form possible. And that question is, Cameron, are you single?
Uh-huh.
What's going on?
Yeah. What's happening with your romantic life?
I am single. Yes. I think we've successfully made me look unattractive on this podcast.
No! We talked about how cute you are.
What are you talking about?
We're and working on the bed, ladies and or gentlemen.
And you're eligible. You're
He
has a job. I can vouch for that.
An eligible bachelor.
Yeah.
And he's super funny and he's very sweet. Very smart.
Are you on the apps?
I'm on the apps a little. I've taken a break for like a couple of weeks and it feels really good.
I was on the apps, I was starting and deleting accounts like every other day.
Yeah. It's not fun. It's like being single right now in this day and age, I think, is very, very stressful.
It's a lot of work because I feel like I was, I started dating Brad like when OkCupid was around, but Tinder wasn't a thing yet. And it was still sort of like, if you're single, you're expected to maybe try like for a date or two a month from OkCupid. But now when like all my friends who are on the apps, if they're not swiping and like meeting someone for coffee every like other day, then what are they doing?
Right. That's why so many people delete and reinstall the app so often, because once you get it off your phone or like once you disable your account for a bit, you just like don't think about it and it's really nice for a while. But when you have it, or the thing I always say about online dating is that it reminds you that you're single every single day and that you have a problem.
And, like, notifications pop up about it all the time, too.
Yeah.
That's like that horrible app.
It's like the Moment app for, being alone.
You're just trying to make me feel bad about my life right now.
It's like,
thanks.
Whereas if I don't have that around, I'm not dwelling on my singleness all the time. I'm just sort of existing. I'll think about it sometimes.
But it's not like, there's a missing piece. Alert. Maybe this person will fill it.
Right. And so it's like, I don't know if anyone is feeling super stressed out by apps. I highly suggest taking lots of breaks.
Or you can do what Kristen did and
just date
go
like,
on
go
like
to
five
temple.
Dates on Thanksgiving in a row.
There were so many dates. Yeah.
Oh, my God. You have always, I feel like you had a really positive attitude about it that I have not been able to really work up. Though I will say that like sometimes one thing I have enjoyed about online dating is even if I don't see the person again, I often leave with like music recommendations, or sometimes I'll have a new app on my phone that like does something. Not another dating app, but like it'll be like a game or something. So I often do get something out of every date probably, and that's kind of fun.
Yeah. And I think that no matter what, if you go in with the attitude of I'm going to get something interesting out of this, if it's a story I've never heard or a suggestion for a song to
meeting
listen to.
Meeting a new person in your city.
Yeah.
Like just learning about like someone who doesn't work with you or like hang out with your friends too, like is also nice.
You're always going to get something out of it. And ideally it's not something horrible or traumatizing. Hopefully it's something that is interesting or maybe a little magical, maybe.
And if you ever want someone to just arbitrarily swipe through shit, like I'm always available.
Oh, yeah, me too. I love
doing that after a drink or two, just getting someone else's phone and like going nuts.
Yeah.
Good times. Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Cameron, for telling all.
Yes.
You're so welcome.
You did it. And thank you to the listeners who wrote in with questions for Cameron. And Cameron, we just are not going to force you to do this again for a while. So
yeah.
We promise,
told
we promise
all,
you.
My, you've told all. You won't have to tell all again for many months.
Yes.
Okay. Great. No, I had fun. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for being
recording
you.
This for us.
Thanks for editing this right now.
Yes. Cameron, edit faster.
I'll go clean up this mess.
Yeah. Cameron, can you make this not boring?
All right, guys. Before we officially sign off on the last of our season two bonus episodes, it is time to announce our season three book that we are going to debut with. And that book is You Are a Badass, How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life by Jen Sincero.
What is the definition of a badass?
What if you have a really good ass?
What if you have a small ass? Can you be a badass with minimal ass?
We'll find out in 2 weeks with the season three premiere of By the Book.
And that's it for this bonus episode of By the Book.
You can reach us at 505-510-BOOK or write to us at buythebook@panoply.fm.
And don't forget, you can always tweet at us at Jalenta G, at Kristen Meinzer, or at buythebookpod.
Huge thanks to our very special guest and our producer today, Cameron Drews. Yay, Cam.
Yay.
And as always, thanks to our managing producer, Mia Lobel. Until next time, I'm Kristen Meinzer.
And I'm Jalenta Greenberg.
Bye-bye.
Cameron, you have to say
bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye. If you had to hand off your duties for a day, what would you tell the person filling in that they had to know about me and Jalenta?
Oh my gosh, that is a tough one.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what advice to give.
Full disclosure, this question was from my husband, Brad,
oh,
and
really?
I think he just wanted you to talk shit about us.
My advice to a new producer is I would say be friends with them for a year beforehand and then.
Or multiple
start
years.
Producing
yes.
The show.
Yes.
Yeah, just be in the peripheral.
I'm also just cementing in my job
yeah,
security
for real.
So
I was
no
like,
one else can do it.
Wait. There's a reason he's being so nice about this question.
Yes.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.